Well, God bless everybody. Welcome again to Zion's Trumpet. And how's everybody doing? Hope you're doing better than I am. What should we do first? Hello, Karen. Praise the Lord. Bless you. How about we start with a song? Does that sound good? Okay, we'll do a couple songs here. Let me put some up on the board and so you can see the words here. Anybody ever hear that one before? God says we're the children of the morning. God says we're the children of the morning. God says we're the children of the day. God says we're the children of the morning. God says, don't you turn your heart away. Eagles, saints, arise and soar. You know this earthly realm is not your destiny. I've called you to go out and set creation free. My love for you will last throughout eternity. God says we're the children of the morning. God says we're the children of the day. God says we're the children of the morning. Don't you turn your heart away. Eagles, saints, arise and soar the heavenlies. You know this earthly realm is not your destiny. I've called you to go out and set creation free. My love for you will last throughout eternity. God says we're the children. God says we're the children of the day. God says we're the children of the morning. God says, don't you turn your heart away. Eagles, saints, arise and soar the heavenlies. You know this earthly realm is not your destiny. 'Cause I've called you to go out and set creation free. My love for you will last throughout eternity. All saints arise and soar the heavenlies. You know this earthly realm is not your destiny. For I've called you to go out and set creation free. My love for you will last throughout eternity. Him that overcometh. Anybody ever hear that one before? Oh, Sissy said she was able to keep up with your guitar. Oh, your guitar. Great, great. I'm in D now. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Him that overcometh will I make. Will I make a pillar in the temple of my God? And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Him that over promise will I make, will I make? A pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God. Him that overcometh will I make, will I make, a pillar in the temple of my God. Him that overcometh will I make, will I make, a pillar in the temple of my God. Will I make a pillar in the temple of mine? And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God. Him that overcometh will I make, will I make, a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God. Him that overcometh will I make, a pillar in the temple of my God. Okay, Ray says we all sounded pretty good. Amen. I can hear you through the mic. It was really good, Grace. Thanks a lot. Oh, yes. Amen. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to overcome, right? Oh, my. I'm still singing. I can hear myself still singing. Am I still singing on you guys? Is it still? Am I still singing or am I talking? Oh, that's a mess. I can't tell where I'm at. This is crazy. How many people were in Steve's room last night? That was a good word, wasn't it? Well, I was going to just expound on that just a little bit tonight, if it's okay with everybody. I had a few thoughts. I didn't want to talk in Steve's room last night because everybody else was sharing. I didn't want to take up their time. I guess I would like to say a couple things. First of all, this doctor, what's his name? Dr. Alan Barber. I went to his website to see what he said about the convention. He made some statements again about the Jews and everything in this little statement he had about the convention being changed. And one of the things he said was he feels that believers need to know what's going on in the world in order not to be caught up in the strong end-time delusion that Jesus said could deceive even the elect. Now, of course, that's great. You know, this could be deceived if not careful. At least he's not preaching eternal security in that sense. But the problem is, the New World Order is not what's deceiving, going to deceive the elect. I'm not going to go on this too much tonight because you've all heard me talk about this before. The thing is deceiving, is so deceiving it could even get the elect right now, is the Antichrist spirit is duplicating everything the Holy Ghost does in a person's life. That's the deception that's capable of taking us out, people like us out. Not the Illuminati, not the Bilderbergers, not the Masons. I mean, that stuff real. There's no doubt it's real. There's no doubt it's going behind the scenes. But that's not the stuff that's going to deceive us. The thing that's deceiving Christians right now is something spiritual, invisible, and it has to do with the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That's what's deceiving people right now. And that's what can even deceive the elect, not this conspiracy stuff. Everybody's looking for that. I mean, all Christians are looking for the Jews to build a temple in Israel, the Antichrist in the temple. They're looking for, I mean, they're looking for all the stuff Dr. Alan Barber's talking about. Maybe not in detail, but they're generally, all Christians are, of course, waiting for the rapture. They're going to be here for this. But once they realize the rapture isn't true and they're stuck here, they're going to be looking for all this stuff even more. You know, that's not going to deceive them. A man sitting in a temple in Jerusalem ain't going to deceive the Gentile Christians. What is going to deceive the Gentile Christians and possibly even some of the elect is a demon spirit, a religious spirit that counterfeits everything the Holy Spirit does in a person's life. That's the danger that we should be warning people about. It's sad that
He thinks this is a big danger. The Illuminati and all that stuff that's going on is the big danger for God's people. He has no concept, no idea that this Antichrist spirit is the real danger out there. So he's not warning people about the right thing. Even if he wasn't had a bad attitude towards the Jews and everything he was saying was absolutely true, it's still not what God's trying to warn his people about. It's still way off the track. So another thing he said is, I guess somebody, I don't know if he's had this from somebody else or maybe Steve said something to him, but he said anyone trying to teach the truth about secular Israel, that is his view that secular Israel is a ruse, is a deception, it was created by man, not God, and all that. He says anyone trying to teach that kind of truth about secular Israel is branded as being anti-Semitic. Well, I believe he's anti-Semitic because of the way he thinks he's saying, but even if he's not anti-Semitic, he certainly has a rotten attitude towards the Jews. Okay? He is high-minded and lifted up, and he's a perfect example of Gentile conceit, the Gentile conceit that Paul warned against in Romans. So I'd like to go through a little bit about the Jews again a little bit tonight. One thing the other thing he said was the current secular nation, of course, you know, because Steve already told you this is the big disagreement there between him and Steve, was he said that Israel is illegal, as many rabbis know. It was not wrong for the Jews to live in the Holy Land alongside the Arabs, but it is illegal according to Torah for the Jews to reestablish a nation without repenting and accepting Messiah. The Rothschilds created the modern state of Israel to promote Zionism and the new Israel that would eventually rule the world and subjugate the Gentiles. So that's a shame that this brother, that's his view of the Jews and the Jewish state. It's just, it's a shame. I just want to point something out to you here. Of course, last night Steve was saying, and very good what he was saying, about that God's going to bring the Jews back in unbelief. He's going to bring them back to land first. Then he's going to cleanse them through fire, through judgment, through different things. And probably only a remnant will be saved. But still, they come back in unbelief first. And that's throughout the scripture. That's incredible to me that somebody who is a scholar and who is, seems to have a real sharp mind misses all this. You know, but anyway, so I want to point this out to you. Ezekiel 36, 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you go. That's the first thing you've got to understand. What God's doing has to do with his own name, with the honor of his own name, the covenant he made, the promises he made to Abraham and to the seed of Abraham. It has nothing to do with the righteousness of the Jews or anything else. It's God. It's for his name's sake he's going to do it. He says, I will sanctify you, verse 23, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before your eyes. Okay. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into whose land? Your own land. Now he's talking about unbelieving Jews who are scattered among the nations. He says, I'm going to take you out from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries, and I'm going to bring you into your own land. It's their land, even in unbelief, even when they're scattered. And he's not talking to saved Jews now. He's talking to the unsaved Jews in the nations that are scattered. He's going to bring back and say, I'm going to bring you into your own land. Just wanted to show that to you. It's their, God considers it their land, even when they're in unbelief, even when they're scattered. So all this garbage about it's not their land and it's they got to accept Messiah to come back and all this, that's all garbage. It's unscriptural. I can't believe people can't see the truth that's right in front of their face. That's what happens when you get up this thing, what do I want to say? I don't want to say conspiracy theories. Realm, this conspiracy level, that whole thing, living in that level, it's demonic. So there's a couple of people on Steve's show last night that wrote in. One said that when they read that stuff, they get scared. One said they get anxious. And one said they get upset or mad. And there's all kinds of bad, negative emotions that people were saying were testifying that they experienced when they started to really get into these teachings and started to really read them. And the reason is because it's demonic. You listen to the preaching of the devil. It's what the devil wants to do. It's what the devil plans to do. It's what the devil is doing. Okay? There's kind of like three levels you can live on. The mass media, which is left-wing, liberalistic, communistic, anti-God, pro-homosexual. Okay? The stuff you're seeing in that kind of level is just all, it's all lies. It's all lies. It's all manipulation lies. you can go up the next level and get behind that stuff, get behind the news you're seeing every day, it's lies, and start getting into a mixture of truth and lies of what's going on behind the scenes of the Illuminati and the Rothschilds and all that. Some of it's true, some of it's deliberate misinformation is being fed down to the people. But there is a elite, there is a one world order coming up, and all that's true. So, but you can live there, or you can rise up another level and live where God dwells, the spirit realm, where God's seeing things and see things the way God does. Okay. Now, when you live in that middle realm where all the conspiracy is and everything, what you're doing is you're listening to what the devil is saying and what the devil is planning and what the devil wants to do. You understand what I'm saying? You're listening to what the devil is planning. He's broadcasting his plans, his desires, and what he's already accomplished. He's broadcasted to people. People are printing it, talking about it, writing books about it, constantly focusing on it. Okay? That's why when people get into this, they have all kinds of bad feelings. They get scared. They have all kinds of... And they end up deceived because they come under a spirit. Now, this spirit is powerful. It blinds people to the plain old... just to what the Bible actually says. I mean, you can't get around some of the statements of the Bible, yet people read it and they can't see it because they've been blinded by a spirit. If God leads somebody to study that for a little bit or, you know, check it out for a little bit for a reason, that's fine. I'm not saying you should never, ever delve into it all, never pay attention to it all, you know. God wants his people to have a little bit of wisdom and knowledge, but you don't get it from dwelling in that realm and getting all your information in that realm, because half the information coming up from that realm is lies anyway, first of all. And second of all, you gotta, if once you get down and read some of this stuff, you gotta get back up in the spirit and ask God to sort it out and keep your mind clear. So I'm not saying we should never read anything like that or never ever look at it, but like Steve said, that shouldn't be our focus. And if you do get down, if God does lead you to do something like that for some reason, there's a reason for it. And you're not going to get scared. You're not going to get anxious. You're not going to get mad and bitter. And you're not going to be opening ourselves up to the voice of the devil in the same way as those who live there all the time do. Okay? They're opening themselves up to a demon spirit. Demons are talking to them. They're talking to him. The devil's telling him what he wants to do, what he's planning on doing. And they're just drinking it up constantly, constantly. And it's no wonder they get deceived. So deceived, they can't see what's in black and white right in front of their face when they read your scripture. So, I want to talk a little bit about Gentile arrogance, because even if Dr. Barber is not an anti-Semite, he is certainly walking in a terrible state of arrogance, Gentile arrogance, and he's not the only one. There's a lot of them out there, and not just the conspiracy people either. There are a lot of people who have rejected dispensationalism, which is good, but usually the people who reject dispensationalism don't land in the middle. They go to the opposite extreme, and they end up against the Jews. Okay, so dispensationalism is wrong. And some of the things he said in that article are right, but he went too far all the other end. So I want to start with, I want to talk about Gentile arrogance. Okay? I want to start in Romans 11. This is the chapter that all those Christian Zionists used and all the anti-Christian Zionists hate. Okay? Romans chapter 11, I'm going to start with verse 19 here if I get it. Give me a second here. You're all familiar with this verse, but let's go through it again. This passage, let's go through it again. Romans 11, 19. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. He's talking about the wild olive tree, the good olive tree. The branches broken off of the Jews, unbelieving Jews. The branches are grafted into the believing Gentiles. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. The Gentiles might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Okay, it means high-minded. King James is high-minded. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Okay? Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted in the olive tree? I want to point that out. Whose olive tree is it? For if you, Gentiles, were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, that's another tree, and were grafted into the good olive tree, right? Contrary to nature, into the cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, that is the natural branches that were unbelieving Jews, be grafted into their own olive tree? Okay? So Paul's saying the olive tree is their tree. Okay, we're grafted in, and because we're grafted in, we are partake of everything that was promised to the Jews, whether it's a natural promise or a spiritual promise. We partake of it. We partake of the same root and fatness. We're part of the same tree. But That doesn't change the fact that it's their tree. We're granted into somebody else's destiny, somebody else's promises, somebody else's history, somebody else's fathers, okay? Somebody else's covenants. It's their own olive tree. Now, he goes on to say, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. There's a mystery here in 11:25. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion, or conceits, as King James says. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It's a mystery here. The blindness of the Jewish people and are being brought in is a mystery. And if we don't understand the mystery, he says we're going to end up walking in pride and our own conceit. That means we're going to be high-minded. We're going to be high-minded, thinking more of ourselves. Okay, we're looking down the nose at the Jews, the unbelieving Jews specifically. Okay, what is this mystery, and how can it keep us from walking in pride? Okay, it says blindness in part. The mystery is blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's the mystery. There's a lot packed in that little statement, so I want to just say a few things about it. First of all, the Jewish people are not totally blind. It says they're partially blind. See that? Partial blindness. Okay, partial blindness has happened to them. That is, they don't know who the Messiah is. They're blind concerning the work and the person of Jesus, the Messiah, their Messiah. But they're not blind concerning God and the things of God, necessarily. As a matter of fact, religious Jews have a much better grip, a much better grasp of the issue of righteousness than do most believing Gentiles right now. Because unbelieving religious Jews realize that God demands righteousness in a person's life. And that's more than can be said for the majority of today's Christians who have cut their spiritual teeth on a lawless, righteousless gospel. Now, the religious Jews, like Paul said, they're ignorant of God's righteousness and go about to establish their own righteousness. They won't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. They're still trying to be righteous by keeping the law. They haven't submitted or received by faith the righteousness or the justification of Jesus. Okay? The Gentiles have received it. But what Gentiles have received is the imputed righteousness of Jesus. And instead of allowing that imputed righteousness to be worked out as actual righteousness, they continue to live like a devil because they assume that imputed righteousness is all that's necessary. What they don't realize is imputed righteousness is an invisible legal state. Nobody can see imputed righteousness. So God wants our imputed righteousness, our legal standing, what we are in the spirit, to be demonstrated in the earth. And so Gentile Christians are not allowing God's righteousness to be seen in the earth because they're settling for imputed righteousness and don't think that there's anything beyond it. The Jews aren't letting God's righteousness come forth in the earth because they're trying to establish their own righteousness. What I'm trying to say is here is Christians really have no business, have no reason to be stuck up, to be proud of Jews. We're doing just as bad as they are, although we're saved and they're not. Christians are saved. I'm not saying the Jews are saved or the Christians are lost. I'm just talking about just in this sense, having a grasp on righteousness and what God wants. They're no worse than us. At least they know what God wants. They're not doing it God's way, but at least they know what he wants. Christians don't know God wants righteousness. Christians just think God wants them to go to heaven, and they think all imputed righteousness is it. They don't have to be righteous in the earth. So there's plenty of reasons not to look down our nose at the Jews. And all these people who are in conspiracy theories and believe in covenant theology and other people in between who are leaving dispensationalism but they're not getting the right angle, whether they're becoming anti-Semites outright or at least they're high-minded, they're thinking more of themselves, and they're looking down their nose at the Jews. Secondly, Paul said the partial blindness is on the Jews is only going to last till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's the King James, be come in. Okay. Now, the question is, what are the Gentiles coming into? He says the Gentiles are being brought into something, and the Jews are going to be blind until all the Gentiles are brought into that something. What is that something? What are we being brought into? Well, the normal answer is, well, salvation. Okay. But it's more than just salvation. The answer is we're being brought into Israel, the one Israel. Dr. Barber made a true statement. He said, there is only one Israel. And that's absolutely true. There is only one Israel. But his definition of that one Israel and how it applies and how it works out is totally wrong. Okay? There is only one Israel. Through Messiah, we've been joined to the Messiah that's Israel's Messiah. The new covenant we partake of is Israel's new covenant. The promises, which have become our promises, were the promises made to Israel. We've become part of the history of Israel. We've become part of the destiny of Israel. God's bringing the fullness of the Gentiles into his Israel. They're coming into God's Israel. They're coming into all the promises that were made to Israel. They're coming into the covenants that were made to Israel. They're coming into the place that Israel had with God, chosen people, a light to the nations, a peculiar treasure. Everything that applies to Old Testament Israel applies to us. But not because we replace them and not because we're better than them. It's still their promises. We're partaking of their stuff. It was their stuff first. It belonged to them first. It was created for them. God opened the door and allow the Gentiles to come in and partake of that. But that doesn't mean we take it all over now. And now it's our stuff. The tree's our tree. The promises are our promises. You know, there are promises in as much as we're part of Messiah and we're part of that, we're part of Israel, to whom the promises were made. Everything becomes ours because we become part of them. As long as you understand that progression there, we become part of them, therefore everything was destined for them, was planned for them, belongs to them, and it belongs to them even in an unsaved state, even though they can't experience it, and it doesn't do them any good, it still belongs to them. I'm going to show you that, in an unsaved state. Everything belongs to them then and still, and we have been joined to that, and now they belong to us. So, I want to go through this. The Jewish race is special. It always has been special. It's very important what we think about the Jews right now, because there's going to be a dividing line in the church over the Jews in the coming days. There's going to be a dividing line, and a lot of people are going to be wrong on the wrong side of the issue when it comes to the Jewish people. And they're going to be sorry when they stand before God. They're going to miss a lot, and they may even be condemned. I don't know, but they're certainly going to miss what God's having for them because of their stand against the Jews. 1-5. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed. This is as a side note. Listen to what this man says. I could wish myself, that means accursed permanently, eternally. I mean, go to hell. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brother, my kinsman, is according to flesh. Paul says, I am so burned for them. My heart aches so bad that they find Messiah. I could. I'm not going to. God's not asking me to, but I could. I could have myself cut off from Jesus and end up in hell if my kinsmen, according to flesh. That's a deep, deep love Paul had for his brethren, his kinsmen, who are Israelites. To whom pertaineth? Now, who is this pertaineth here? What are you saying? Let's do it again. For I myself wish I could myself be accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to what? The flesh. Okay? According to the flesh. We're not talking about the saved Jews here. We're talking about Jews, period. Jewish people, the Jewish race. Biological Jews, according to the flesh. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God been. So, talking about unbelieving, Christ-rejecting Jews, blind Jews, partially blind Jews, regarding Messiah. He says, to these, about these Jews according to the flesh, they're Israelites, and to them pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the law, the service of God, the promises, and the fathers. Not like they did, but now they don't. They did in the Old Testament, now in the New Testament they don't. They still do. They're cut off. When Paul said this, the Jews were cut off. They had been cut off the olive tree. And the people he's talking about according to the flesh were already cut off. He said it's still. The promises, everything pertains to them. Now, they got to walk in them. It ain't going to help them. You know, if they don't walk in, they'll still be lost. They got to walk by faith like everybody else. And in the new covenant, that means accept Jesus. So, the promises and the covenants and the service of God, all that stuff's not going to profit them if they don't walk in faith and serve God. However, it still belongs to the Jewish race, period. The Jewish race. Never stopped belonging to the Jewish race. Never. It's never stopped. Now, in the future, the one Israel of God is metamorphosing right now from a strictly national geopolitical entity into a new creation nation filled with new creation men. Okay, so in the end, it's not going to be a Jewish thing. So I'm not saying that. That's not where I'm going. But what I'm saying is, when you come up against somebody and say the Jews are behind the conspiracy or special, that's not true. They're not saved, and God's not saving them unless they receive Messiah. But it's not true that they're no longer special. They are special. They have been special, and they will be special. Okay? They are special. And all this stuff pertains to the Jew. I want to say this again. The priesthood is their call. The Jewish race. Not just to save Jews. The call of priesthood is their call. The promises are their promises. The covenants are their covenants. The adoption of sons is their adoption of sons. And when I say adoption of sons, that's talking about the sons of God. There's some deep stuff in there. It's not just talking about, they're going to be adopting of God's family. The revelation of sons of God. All that is included in that. Service to God. It's their service. Patriarchs are their patriarchs, you know?